Hey everyone, welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop. Over the next few months, I'll be peppering in some replays of prior episodes that we feel deserve another listen. And today, I have for you Lisa's first ever episode of Field and Garden. In this episode, she covers a couple of really big topics. First one being how not to freak out if you decide to peek under your row covers in midwinter. And the other being how to use this time in winter to harness the power of succession planting as you plan out your bed space throughout the coming year. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy. Did you know that the Gardener's Workshop offers seed starting supplies? On our site, you'll only find the equipment that we love and use ourselves. It's all flower farmer approved. So visit our online store today at thegardenersworkshop.com. The Gardener's Workshop, turning all thumbs green.
Hey folks, it's Lisa Mason Ziegler coming to you here on the Field and Garden Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm super excited for us to meet here and to cover everything and anything on flowers, business, garden dogs, whatever you got, we're going to talk about it, okay? So this morning when I was walking the farm with Tucker, throwing the ball, watching him get some energy out, I did what I usually do during the deep days of winter. It's pretty nippy outside. You know, I had to have gloves on and muffs, and so it's pretty cold. And so normally there's not a whole lot really going on in the garden. But what I really wanted to share with you guys is this is the time that I find that I enjoy my fall planted cool flowers more than any other time. Because, so first, if you don't know what cool flowers are, cool flowers is actually the name of one of my books, and it's about cool season hardy annuals. And one of the ways that they can be planted is in fall, some of them depending on your winter hardiness zone. So we here in zone 8A, 7B really have a wide variety of those plants that can be fall planted. And so they were planted last September and October and even a little bit in November. And they're under row cover, not because they need it for cold protection, but really it's just given them a little bit of added protection from the wind, which is so cold and bitter during the winter, as well as from squirrels getting in there and digging around, and it does help to actually to deter the deer. But why do I enjoy that garden so much in the deep days of winter? I love peeking under the covers, y'all. First off, there is no scarier thing for a gardener or a farmer than to peek under their row covers. In January, here in Virginia, and my little plants look like little popsicles. They typically are frozen solid. And I just kind of pull back one of the weight bags and take a look under. And sometimes I'm greeted with, oh my gosh, look how awesome they look. And other times I think, uh-oh, where are they? Or, oh my, that is looking really sick. So I always have a mixed bag of results, but I just can't tell you how exciting it is to do this. And I have to just tell you a little story from, oh my goodness, I bet it was only my second year of farming. And you have to know that I actually launched my flower farming career in 1998 with my first fall planted cool flower garden. But of course, back then we didn't know it was cool flowers, right? They were just cool season hardy annuals. So going into my second fall planting that following year, I was really pumped because I had had success the year before. And so going into my second year, you know, I thought I was a superstar, right? And so I planted, you know, tons of snapdragons, a lot of direct seeded cool flowers. I can remember Nigel. I'm thinking of one image that I used in PowerPoint programs that when I would do programs on cool flowers, I would always tell this story. And the image I'm thinking of was an image of snapdragons in full bloom with nigella mixed in amongst them with agrostemma in the background. That was kind of the perfect image for this story, because what happened was that second year, I did exactly what I did here this morning. As I was out walking the farm, I stopped to peek under the row covers. And lo and behold, my snapdragons, which those were, I only grew rockets back then. I didn't know about all the others. They looked dead as doorknobs, y'all. I mean, totally dead. Now, you have to also have in the back of your mind that I had worked my tail off that first selling harvesting season, getting customers, you know, ramping them up that I was going to have all these great, even more great flowers the following spring. So this January, I'm walking, I peek under the covers, and all of the snapdragons are like frozen solid. They look dead as doorknobs. I can still remember running in the house and calling my sister, Suzanne, and saying, "Oh my gosh, all the snapdragons are dead. I'm going to have to start them again." And thus, y'all, leads to why I always have too many snapdragons, because I have fallen victim to what I'm speaking of right now so many times. So she says, "Well, start some more, because we surely need to have a boatload for spring, because you've like totally told everybody we're going to have them." So I did two things. I went inside and started more snapdragons, which was a mistake, because those snapdragons were not dead, y'all. But in addition to that, because I was such an overachiever, is I actually sowed nigella seeds in the holes where I thought those dead snapdragons were. So this image that I'm thinking of, if you can just imagine this, were these gorgeous rocket snapdragons. I think it was red and white ones that were actually in the image, with this blue nigella, which is love in a mist, all blooming like in the same part of the bed. I mean, it looked like a decorative landscape, not a cutting garden. Y'all, peeking under your covers when it's in the dead of winter can lead you to do some crazy stuff. And I still fall victim to that, because this morning when I looked under the covers, I tried to look where I was wondering, you know. It's like I pretty much know the Rudbeckias are a given. Those things are so hardy that they typically have no troubles. I stopped and looked this morning at my status and the dill. Dill, I know sometimes we can lose over winter because sometimes it just can't take the cold that comes, but it's always worth trying. And I always plan on replanting that in very early spring. But the status, which is kind of a new cool flower for me in the last few years, I took a peek at this morning. Guess what? It's looking pretty awesome. So while I'm really afraid looking under my covers, it's also really rewarding. I have such peace of mind right now because I look and see how many cool flowers are thriving. They're not really growing, y'all. They're just sitting there with their foliage looking a little frozen, but they aren't brown. They haven't vanished. It's just really such a great, just a great pick-me-up for while we're in this dead of winter, right? I just, you know, January and February are the months that it can be a little scary to peek under your row covers, but it is also the time to really reap the reward for me of that fall, all that work of fall planting. And if you didn't fall plant and you want to learn more about it, of course, Cool Flowers, you can find it on my website. And there's also a free book study to go along with it. And it's just, it adds a whole new level of gardening and farming to you if you're not practicing that. So I encourage you to check it out. So what's the other thing that's going on right now? We are all so excited over gardening and farming, because guess what? It's not hot outside. We're not overwhelmed with chores. We have time to sit, look at magazines, look at garden books, look at the catalogs that are rolling in. And my goodness, there's no real work yet to be done. So it is just so easy and free to just dream. And I would not take that away from anybody. And I dream in different ways now. You know, I go into some flower farming closed groups, especially those that have the real professionals in it, and, you know, see what they're writing and talking about and give a try on something that I haven't done, or maybe something I'd forgotten about that I haven't tried for years, and now somebody has a new method or tactic to do it. So I am not by any means, I don't want to squash anybody's dream, y'all. But I also want to encourage everybody, whether you are a newbie home gardener, a seasoned home gardener, a newbie flower farmer, or a seasoned flower farmer, this is sometimes a struggle for me to take the time to stop and do it, and it really is just so valuable. And it helps you in the arc of the next coming season to be more successful when you have it. And that is putting your pencil to paper. You don't have to draw elaborate plans, y'all. The thing that I'm going to suggest to you, which I do every year, and it is really so simple that most people just kind of think it can't really be that simple, is to really figure out how much room do I really have to plant. And I mean, for me, I'll just tell you what I do, and then you can apply it to your 5-foot space, your 25-foot space, your quarter acre, or your whole acre. It doesn't really matter how big or small your space is you have to really know what is the measurement of your bed or of your garden space. And if it's a bed, you would measure the width and the length of your bed. And if you're not really familiar with how to plant a flower garden that's intended to be, because we're talking about cutting gardens, right? I mean, I'm a flower farmer. I count my cutting garden as my big landscape because I just love it at all stages. But we're talking about planting a garden that you're going to be cutting, right? If you're not familiar with the tight spacing and the way that we plant cutting gardens, I would recommend that you check out my book, Vegetables Love Flowers. It really takes you by the hand and shares my spacing, how to set up beds, the whole nine yards. So what I literally do is I would take, whether you have that one bed or you are going to have 20 beds in a big garden space, I literally take how many feet of bed I have by how many rows are going to fit on that bed, and then what the spacing of the planting is going to be in that bed. And then I typically, as a general rule, I always try to start twice as many seeds as plants I actually need in the finished bed. And why would I say that? Well, first off, y'all, stuff happens. So if you store your seeds properly and you don't end up using them all, you can have them for next time around. And there is a great blog over on our blog on the website, and it's called Storing Seeds Longer. You can search the blog and find that. There's nothing worse than not having enough plants to fill your space. And so I always trying to start most of our seeds indoors to plant out as transplants versus direct seeding. And so I start about twice as many seeds as I think that I need. That allows for all of the whoopsies, the failures on my part, and issues to happen. And then you can always find a place to tuck in perhaps any of those extra leftovers, or share it with friends. If you are a flower farmer, you know, you may have a friend or a customer that you want to share those with. Far better problem to deal with as to what to do with your extra transplants than to not have enough transplants to plant your complete area that you're planting on. And the other thing I want to add here, there is nothing wrong, y'all, with composting extra plants. They ultimately end back up in your garden, right? So if you don't have any way to gift, sell, or give away your extra transplants, there's always that option. And we have certainly done that in the past, especially with ones that we've allowed to get overgrown, which we try not to plant those at all. So the other thing I want you to remember at this time of trying to figure out how much space you have is succession, 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 y'all. Succession planting. If you're not familiar with what that is, it is the secret to having a consistent supply of flowers and or vegetables, really. You apply it to both, of consistent supply of flowers instead of going out and planting your entire space at the first crack of spring. You break up your garden. And again, the book Vegetables Love Flowers really hits this home. There's actually diagrams in the back of the book that can help you wrap your head around this. But the way that I kind of do this in my mind, and it can be really complicated if you try to get too detailed, y'all, but this is the way that I handle succession planting. In my acre garden, I break it up into three sections. One section is planted in the fall, cool flowers. In that block of beds, I plant in the fall, as well as I leave space in that block for the second planting of cool flowers in very early spring. So that garden space is accounted for. That second section is where my first warm season tender annual planting will go. And a side note, we'll just say that my sections are groups of 10 beds, whether your beds are 10 feet long or 100 feet long. So that second section is where that first, you know, the first zinnias and coxcomb and sunflowers and all those warm season growing tender annuals are going to go. So the third section, those group of beds, is where my second planting of warm season tender annuals grow. So let's just stop right there for a second and say, okay, let's take a snapshot of what this garden might look like right now in the dead of winter. So cool flowers are planted and covered, right, with a row cover, not for cold protection, but just for quality of life reasons, protection from wind and squirrels and so forth. The warm season, that second section where the warm season tender annuals will first be planted, is right now in crimson clover. That is a cover crop that historically for me, in my zone, in my garden, and the way that I take care of it and extinguish it, meaning ending its life, is easy and quick to get out of there so that we can make beds, because you have to think ahead, y'all. You have to make beds and have them ready and waiting to be planted in very, in that, not early spring by any means, like right after your last spring frost and the soil has begun to warm, right? So you don't want it to have some aggressive winter growing cover crop that's got tons of organic matter that's going to take forever for it to break down after you either incorporate it or whatever, however you're going to get rid of it. I typically till it, and that allows, with crimson clover, a very quick turnaround for me. We do minimal tillage, but typically if we go over it twice and let it sit for about a week, it is pretty beautiful the following week for me to add our organic dry fertilizer, till it one more light time, and then we make our beds. So that's what that section of the garden looks like right now in winter. It has crimson clover growing on it. Now, that third area that's not going to be planted until probably 4 to 6 weeks after that first summer planting, that has actually winter cereal rye growing in it. And nobody would grow winter cereal rye unless you have experience with it or you have equipment, because it is a pretty aggressive winter grower. It has amazing roots. It produces like 6 feet tall vegetation that grows quickly in the spring after all winter. So like right now, it looks like a nice, beautiful, thick lawn. It's about 6 to 8 inches tall. That's how it's gone through winter, protecting our soil, putting down amazing roots. And then as soon as it starts to warm up, it takes a good while for it to digest and to become plantable. So you would never, for instance, have winter rye growing where you want to plant your first summer planting, right? Are you getting the gist of what I'm saying? So that snapshot of the garden right now is row cover on cool flowers. Then I have a block of crimson clover growing beautifully. And then I have a block of that winter rye, and that winter rye is going to be left to do its thing in spring, and because it's not even going to be dealt with until after I have planted that first warm season. Let's see, had a true cutting garden where you've planted it, treated it, and cut it like a cutting garden. You cannot believe how much volume you get from a small space. So do not be afraid of splitting your space up into thirds. Now, I will tell you that I have a long warm season growing time because of I'm in the mid-Atlantic of southeastern Virginia. And so what'll happen, just as a little sidebar here, I in fact plant more rotations of warm season tender annuals. But guess what? By the time the first one goes in, then the second one goes in, about that time, cool flowers are kind of wrapping it up. It's time for them to come out, and that's where the third planting of warm season tender annuals will go. So guys, you can really plant more than you think, but you can't start them all right out of the gate like so many people do, right? Succession, succession, succession. And then another great tip that I think sometimes folks just don't think about, and you can find out that information. You just have to spend a little bit of time. And again, my book, Vegetables Love Flowers, shares it. You need to kind of separate in your plan those plants that branch and you cut over a long period of time, like zinnias, like basil, like most coxcombs, versus the sunflowers that I grow are all single stem. You get one flower per stem. So you want to plan them in your garden where once they grow up and you cut them, it's easy for you to pull them out or get them out of there so you can plant something else there right away. That is succession planting, y'all. And I know it is overwhelming, but you can really simplify it if you think of the big picture, then drill down on the individual areas of your bed or of your garden and incorporate a group. You know, plant some repeat bloomers, plant some single stem bloomer sunflowers. It makes for such amazing abundance. And you know what else is awesome about succession planting, y'all? You do get to add new stuff to your garden. You don't have it all planted at one time, right? So as you come upon something 2 months from now, a different seed or a different color, it's like you still have time to incorporate that in a later succession. So succession planting is, it's the pathway to have more fun with your garden. And I'm not saying that I don't overindulge, because by golly, I surely do. I overbuy seeds. I overstart seeds. But doing succession planting helps me to bring more of that overindulgence to life with an end result, an end flower, right? So gang, I'm going to wrap up. This is the end to my first podcast of the Field and Garden Podcast. And gang, we're going to talk about it all. I can't wait to talk more as we go through the season. And I hope you will subscribe to my podcast and review me and share it with your friends and send me your suggestions. You can do that through thegardenersworkshop.com. Send me what you would like to hear about. And remember that the dead of winter is not just for dreaming. It's for putting the pencil to paper and finding out what you're really capable of growing. And if you incorporate the succession planting concept to your little garden or your small market farm or even your bigger farm, you will be so surprised, I think, over how much more you can really grow. So, gang, until we meet again, ciao.